From sprains to fractures, get expert care quickly at the University of Kansas Health System. Walk-in orthopedic care is open weekdays, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Saturdays, 8 to 2, at I-435 and Null. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/orthopedics.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's go.
Let's go.
We ain't got no time to waste. Let's go.
Let's go.
You are now listening to Jason Anderson, and you are in the zone.
You're in the zone with Jason Anderson on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I'm going to take the $20 and put it on Taylor Dan. No.
I'll give you a quarter for it.
A whole quarter. I'll give Audrey a quarter, too.
Sound like a movie reference.
I'm just so disappointed in that you, it sounds like a movie reference.
I'm disappointed that you still have the capacity of being disappointed in me. My parents gave up.
No,
much
there's
sooner.
A lot of capacity for disappointment.
You're in the zone on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, a Friday edition of The Zone right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you. Josh Briscoe, Beards. We head up until 2 o'clock. We've got you the next 4 hours. A lot of football to get into today. Fun weekend, hopefully, ahead of us. Some fun games with the local teams west of the state line. And then the Chiefs and the Bucks Sunday night football. We will talk a lot about that game, certainly, throughout the day today. We'll hang out with Matt Derrick coming up at 11 o'clock. Chiefs Digest. We will talk with him about what he sees from this Chiefs team and what he expects to see on Sunday with any takeaways, bigger, smaller, from the Colts' loss. We'll hang out with Kendall Gammon coming up at noon. Kendall Gammon presented by Freeman Health System and Crown Automotive in Lawrence. And get his thoughts on the loss to the Colts, but looking ahead to the Bucks and maybe being in a locker room where it's all about accountability and you better look interior first. Better look inside before you start pointing fingers at somebody else and take an honest assessment and a real assessment when you watch the film of what you were doing. Travis Kelce talks about that all the time. And Patrick Mahomes and certainly Andy Reid, they discuss that about how when you're watching film after a game, it's self-assessment and being real and honest with yourself as to what you did. And I think there's a lot of hard truths to watch in the film from the Colts game. So hopefully that inspires a response from this Chiefs team, and maybe Shaq Barrett helped the inspiration to a response for this Chiefs team against the Bucks. So we'll talk with Kendall Gammon about that, and certainly special teams issues that are there and what he saw and what he's used to and played in. And, you know, that phase of the team was so bad that you can make a case that it cost the Chiefs the game. You can make a case the offense cost the Chiefs the game. You can make a case that Chris Jones and the absurd penalty cost the Chiefs the game. A lot of things you can make a case for if you have them stand alone and just look at them in a vacuum. Then you could say that that was the reason, but it is in totality all of those things adding up. So Kendall Gammon, we'll talk with him coming up at noon. Mick Schaefer, will hang out with him before he heads east to Tampa tomorrow for a little Sunday night football on 41 with Chiefs and Bucks. And then we'll hear from the Chiefs today, Andy Reid and TBD at the podium today on this Friday at 1 o'clock. And we'll wrap up with the cuts as well. Starting to develop a feel, maybe. I don't know. Still don't really have one, but starting to develop a feel for the Chiefs and Bucks. But we'll get into that as the show progresses. 913-912-4810 is the text line to be a part of the show, part of the conversation. So we start off with what has been the main topic since last night, and that is Tua being carted off in the second quarter, going straight to the hospital. He was discharged from the hospital. He flew home with the Miami Dolphins from Cincinnati. He did suffer a concussion. They diagnosed that, and Mike McDaniel saying after the game that, yes, he did have a concussion. He was woozy. He was not necessarily, I don't remember the term that he used, but he wasn't all there, confused
He had some confusion on the field when they were talking with them. So obvious signs, the fencing response, obvious signs of concussion and head trauma that took place last night. It was a scary sight to see when you see that take place, and you know that that person has been rendered unconscious. And the fencing response, where the arms go stiff like that, it is really, really scary. And I don't think there was a soul watching the game that didn't immediately connect Sunday to last night. You can't, unless you're the halftime crew of Thursday Night Football's Amazon broadcast. They talked a lot about that. Not once did they mention Sunday and Tua being woozy, stumbling when he got up, having, you know, needing his offensive lineman to catch him when he starts to fall. And by the way, when he fell and had the whiplash with his head, he immediately grabbed his head with his hands, shook his head, as you would see some players do when they, you know, have a head injury. That's one of the outward signs. He had all the signs of what you would say, boy, that guy suffered some head trauma. Maybe it isn't diagnosed specifically as a concussion, but the man suffered some head trauma on that fall. It was not a back and ankle. Maybe that was a part of it, but you don't immediately grab your head and then shake your head and wobble when it's, you know, your back or your ankle. And there's a reason why the concussion protocol has continued to be more and more strict when there are outward signs with a gross motor instability that is an immediate no-go. It's an immediate, you don't return to play. So somehow they took the gross motor instability in the game on Sunday and changed it into, well, actually, he was wobbling and he fell because of a back and an ankle. There are independent neurologists, there are independent doctors, there's the team doctor, there's the player, there's a lot of different people that go into the return to play policy and the protocol. The NFLPA is doing their investigation. You know, they're now going to have, you know, last night as part of the investigation as well. But it's scary because we know we've got so much more information throughout the years. We don't know everything. Certainly a lot more information we'll learn over the next 10, 20, 30 years. But this much we know, in that a head injury is the same as other injuries on your body. Harrison Butker sprains his ankle. As he's recovering, it makes it more likely that he can re-injure that ankle until it's fully healed. If he goes out there and kicks, one, he will be suffering from the pain of the injury, but also, if he steps wrong, that foot is more unstable than it typically would be without that injury. It's the same thing with the head injury. Until you are fully recovered from the concussion or from the trauma, you are more susceptible to what would have been maybe a smaller hit that wouldn't have resulted in a concussion or trauma, but because you are healing from the previous one, means it might be easier. I don't know if that was last night. I don't know if Sunday doesn't happen and he falls on the turf the exact same way, if he's, you know, has the reaction that he does. Nobody knows that. Nobody will ever know if that's the case. The investigation will be done. We'll see if the protocols were passed. We'll see if he, you know, did stumble because of some sort of back and ankle injury there. But the protocols are there for any outward signs of gross motor instability. And I'm not sure how you would have the return to play. We talked about it earlier this week. I mean, it wasn't just a, you know, well, now let's go ahead and connect it. You and I had a conversation about, like, that's not, how is that a back? We're not doctors, but I don't know that I've seen a player be that wobbly and almost fall and go back in the game before. Maybe I have, maybe it's happened before, and I'm just, I just, you know, haven't read about it, and it, you know,
it's really the quarterback also. I mean, the quarterback doesn't do that very often. This is a very high profile player, also in the only game on your screen last night. And that stuff does matter.
Yeah.
And so at this point, now that, like you said, Tua was discharged and traveled home with the team, and Beard saw a report earlier that he was at home and in good spirits, something along those lines. With that being said, I think the best case scenario here is that being step one, obviously, and then step two being this actually impacting how the NFL handles head trauma from here on out, because I want to be very careful about saying, oh, obviously that was a concussion the first time. It had every on-screen visible sign of a concussion.
It's a good way to put it.
I can say that pretty confidently. He had to go through some sort of protocols, and either he passed them shockingly, or he was not put through strenuous enough protocols. Whatever that process was that got him back out on the field, whatever that process was, and then however the Dolphins got him back out again for the game last night, something broke down there in terms of protecting your players. We don't know if it was a doctor that wasn't as impartial as they were supposed to be. We don't know if it was Tua talking his way back onto the field. We don't know if it was Mike McDaniel saying, get out there, champ, you've got this. We don't know what the cause was, but I think we can say pretty confidently that with that hit last night, something needs to change somewhere in the process. I hope we find out where that process failed. And I almost said where it failed Tua. Again, he could have been at the forefront of trying to get himself back out on the field. We'll hear later on a story in a different realm that touches on some similar stuff. There was I can't remember who it was. I'll go grab the tweet. There was a former Patriot player who last night tweeted his story of being protected by a staff that stepped in on his behalf when he wasn't going to protect himself. It was Rich Ornberger. He tweeted last night, very thankful today for the Patriots trainers and medical staff for the way they handled my concussion in 2011. I was out on my feet. They took it seriously. I spent the year on IR. They saved me from myself. I would have rushed back if they let me. They didn't. Prayers for Tua. And again, there are a lot of different ways this could be handled, and a lot of ways it could be handled well. I think the result of what happened last night is a verdict on if the Dolphins handled it well or not. I don't think there's any room to say that this went according to the way it should go if you care about protecting the brain of your players.
D'Maurice Smith last night after the game was interviewed on ESPN about the investigation that's going on and now even ramped up because this will now be a part of it. This will be included in that investigation. And he brought up an interesting point, and it made me think, as you were saying, a standalone nationally televised game. He said what happened tonight, last night when he was talking, now increases the skepticism from the public on head injuries.
I felt like the last week has set us back in the overall culture that both the NFL and the NFLPA wanted to build to change that focus from myopically what does the player want to what does the patient need.
And I think that's one of the things that people were talking about is how did he return to play? How was he there? Connecting those two. And he's right. It does set it back because standalone nationally televised game, all the commentary was that was talking about it. People were watching. It was a great matchup. You got the undefeated Dolphins. You got the Bengals that are on the verge of going 1-3 to start the season, or giving Miami their first loss just to get back to 500 for the Bengals. Like, the matchup was great. Two offenses that, you know, can go up and down the field and great wide receivers and things like that. Like, so everybody was interested in that game last night, and then that happens. He's right. It puts a spotlight on it, and it goes to, okay, are we really as advanced as we thought we were in terms of concussions and protecting yourself? It's an interesting tweet about protecting the player from himself. Chris Canty, who played for a few teams. I remember him with the Giants. He was on that Steve Spagnuolo defensive line that wreaked havoc on Tom Brady. He started on that defensive line. But Chris Canty played in the NFL until 2015. So the increase in awareness of concussions and protocol and return to play and all of that stuff was already taking place. Listen to him as he talks about what some players would do in the initial baseline for your concussion return to play protocol.
I myself and other players that I played with in the National Football League, purposely flunked the baseline testing so it would be a lower bar to clear in order to return to sport if we did have a concussion or concussion-like symptoms. Because if you have a brain, if you have a trauma event to your brain, they're going to go back and you got to take these computer tests. And if your tests are better or equal to the baseline, then they'll let you play. But if it's below that, they won't. So we used to intentionally flunk the test so we would have an opportunity to return to sport quicker because we understood the gravity of what it meant if we couldn't be available for our team.
Honestly, that's not surprising at all.
No.
Now I don't know if there are other safeguards that are put in place, if maybe the NFL kind of got wind of that, because there's also at least on game day, during the game, there's a pupil test. You know, so if you're concussed, you can't hide your eyes, you know, and your reaction time to, you know, following the light or whatever it is they may be doing when they're testing all of your range of motion and things like that. The computer test, though, as we've heard, like, okay, they have to pass this baseline to make sure that their motor neurons are firing the same way. And what he's saying is they would intentionally flunk that, which is sort of delayed responses to questions and, you know, whatever those questions might be, they would perform under what their natural level would be so that if they are suffering trauma, they would then reach that baseline. I'm hoping that there's an awareness with the NFL with that being the case, but Chris Canty's saying, oh, I did it. And I know a lot of people that did that. I intentionally failed that test because I know what it meant to be out with a concussion as opposed to getting back out there and playing.
I have my pivot for this, but I want to hold it till after we get to the Mike Tomlin.
Okay, very good. Ryan Clark, and this thing goes into protecting the player.
Yeah.
This goes into then the team having to step up and say, you know what, you're not playing. It's for your own good. We're making the decision for you, even though you may have the doctor saying, he could go. We're going to go ahead and make the decision for you. Here's Ryan Clark and Mike Tomlin. This is from
I think it's Ryan Clark's thing, and first and foremost. And this is a conversation about Ryan Clark trying to play in Denver when he had sickle cell, knowing that the altitude could be really, really problematic for him. This conversation I found very eye opening in the context of last night.
I wanted to go play again. I wanted to play in Denver, and I had assembled this team together. And I was like, we're about to go in this. I was like, I got it. I was like, everything that you're telling me, you just got to go tell Mike T, and they're going to let me play. You know, and so we assembled this team, man, and we're sitting there. It's me, it's Yonk, my doctors, all of us. And we're like, we can do this. Like, we can get this done, Mike T. Like, I can go play. And, man, we like 5 minutes through the spiel. I had 30 minutes for him. Mm-hmm. That was good. And he stops in the middle, and he says something to me, man, that I'll always be grateful for. He's like, if you were my kid, I wouldn't even be having this conversation.
The last time we was in Denver, man, this dude almost died, right?
Right.
Nah, man, I gotta lay my head down at night. Like, it goes back to that point. Like, how can you expect unique results, man, without unique relationships, man? It was my job to care about that dude in that moment.
Correct.
Even maybe more so than he cared about himself. Like, that's leadership, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
First. Like, as a leader, I got an obligation to safeguard him.
The doctor cleared him. The doctor cleared Ryan Clark to go and play in Denver. He had his team of doctors, his physician, whatever it might be, and presenting this 30-minute presentation to Mike Tomlin about how he's good to go. Here's the treatment. Here's what he'll do. I can play. And 5 minutes in, he stopped him and was like, if you were my son, we wouldn't be having the conversation. And he didn't play. Even though the doctor said he can play, Mike Tomlin was like, I don't care. You're not playing, dude.
This goes back to trying to figure out what type of people you're working with, what type of people you're hiring for these head coaching jobs, what the goal ultimately is. And now look, Mike McDaniel's in his third game. He just went through game four as an NFL head coach. I'm not sure this is on Mike McDaniel or this is his responsibility. I don't think you have Mike Tomlin poll in week three of your NFL career as a head coach. So that this isn't about him at all, as far as we know right now. But if you have a head football coach who is willing to step between a player and the field to say, you cannot come with us because I am too worried about your health and your life, not just your health for next week, but your health, period, your life after football. I just don't imagine that the NFL has enough people willing to do that. especially in a sport where job security is a fickle thing. You lose four games in a row and all of a sudden you're on the hot seat. Well, if you have your, what if your quarterback could have played through a concussion? You roll the dice and all of a sudden now you're in the coach of the year conversation. That is a cultural problem within the NFL, throughout sports, really. But Harrison Butker could kick on Sunday night, and it might mess up the trajectory of his career. He could continue damaging his ankle. He could limp throughout his elderly years if he comes back too soon. But his brain's going to be okay. And talking about Ryan Clark, he might not have been.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot, and this goes back, there was an old John Madden clip I saw last night of him talking about, once I think you're concussed, I don't think you should go back into the game. John Madden was ahead of the curve on that one. We cannot treat head injuries and ankle injuries like the same thing. We can't treat head and back injuries like the same thing. Jameis Winston's broken vertebrae, now he's not going to play, and Andy Dalton's going to start this week. Wonder what happened there. But if you say questionable to return with a head injury and questionable to return with a hamstring, That is an NFL culture of injuries and getting you healthy and back out there as soon as possible. Patrick Mahomes fell on his thumb weird. They taped it up and got him back out there. He was handing it off with his right hand, even when he's going the opposite direction. That's not the same thing as trying to trot your quarterback back out there as he staggers his way to the sideline. This is not my original thought on this point. Several people mentioned this, but last night felt like watching a game from 2002 of tape him, and really last week for Tua as well. Tape him up, knock the cobwebs out, get him out there. And no pun intended, but it kind of gives you whiplash to realize that we are not quite as advanced in the care of the most important thing in a football player's body. Oftentimes, you treat it like a hammy, and we can't keep doing that.
So you had a pivot. Want to do that on the other side? Or was that the pivot?
The pivot was the podcast name. Ryan Clark's podcast.
I thought you said, I know, but you said okay. maybe you had a
no. That a was way I wanted to play that clip before I gave my full picture of thoughts through the lens of how okay. Mike Tomlin handled awesome. Ryan Clark.
Okay, so that was what
courtesy
you were,
of the pivot.
Oh, that's perfectly fine.
I pivoted to the pivot,
right?
And then now we're going to pivot to a break.
Yes. No, I thought you had like, okay, let me take this way.
Nah, that's
and let's get to this clip first, and then I'll take it a different way.
No, that, I just
so I misunderstood
to...
that, but that's what you were talking about. You're waiting for the clip to then get to that part of your conversation about the totality, the entirety, the bigger picture view of the,
right.
the whole scene.
I wanted to put it in the context of what mm-hmm. Of what Tomlin said first. Also, Jason, there's an old TV show that prominently features the word pivot. I'll explain that reference to you during the break, though.
Oh. Is it have anything to do with moving a couch upstairs?
Yeah, and I love Seinfeld, so it's like it's locked in here.
I'm also a big fan of The Simpsons.
You're in the zone.
Like, I didn't wake up this morning and say, you know, I hope Mecole Hardman hurts a groin today.
With Jason Anderson.
I hope Mecole Hardman hurts a groin today.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I'll take Mecole Hardman's groin. All right, we'll hear from Lee Sterling coming up later on this hour. Matt Derrick will be our guest at 11 o'clock. Kendall Gammon at noon. Mick Schaefer, noon 20, noon 25. Chiefs press conference, Andy Reid, TBD, and some cuts before the show is over today. 913-912-4810. I am disappointed about tonight. I'm disappointed and excited at the same time. So, little man's got a baseball game tonight. And so I love, you know, his baseball games. So I'm excited about that, but I'm disappointed that we will be missing the American Royal tonight. And when I moved back, it was one of the things that I looked forward to most was being a part of Pork Radio 810, again, and being out there. And so not happy about the fact that I'll miss it tonight, but looking forward to the game tonight as well. But Sports Radio 810 WHB, proud to once again be the official media partner of the American Royal World Series of Barbecue at Kansas Speedway, one of Kansas City's premier charity events, the largest barbecue contest in the world. And a special thanks to the great partners for supporting Pork Radio 810, including Hollywood Casino, Parisi Coffee, Allstate, Greengrass Cattle Company, AmeriLife Benefits, Boulevard Brewing Company, and also Hen House. So we certainly appreciate that, and should be a lot of fun tonight. I wish I was going to be out there partaking in the fun and the food. I don't even care about, you know, socializing or conversing with anybody out there. I just to, you know, stuff my face with massive amounts of barbecue, too much barbecue, to go into a barbecue coma after I'm done eating and maybe needing an Uber to get me home, not for anything alcoholic, but for the fact that I may not be able to function or move.
you can be meat drunk.
Can you roll me to the car, you know, like I'm in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, please? Just roll me. What do you do when the barbecue's great?
Is that from the Johnny Depp one? It's the only one I've seen. That was a joke. I've seen.
But I want burn-ins now, Daddy.
There would be something really poetic about like drowning in a river of barbecue sauce, you know, instead of the chocolate river. You start shoving burn-ins and you just start swilling into the shape of a burnt end, one singular chunk of burn-ins.
I've got a golden rib. I've got a golden brisket. Run home, Charlie. Run as fast as you can and don't stop till you eat the meat.
Really trying to come up with a barbecue word that rhymes with Oompa Loompa, but I'm having a very difficult time.
Oh, yeah.
I don't. That's a tough one to come up with rhymes with. It's difficult. It's two fake words rhyming with each other, so I don't. I, you know.
Burton's
brisket doo da dee doo. I have an empty stomach for you. We got there. I needed some time. The wheels were turning over here. Sometimes when my eyes are glazed over, it means I'm not paying attention, and more often it means I'm really working on a barbecue pun.
That makes sense.
About 90% of the time, I'm working on a barbecue pun.
It's odd. We were talking about something completely different, but we were discussing Chiefs and Bucks, and then he just pausing because he's trying to think of a barbecue pun.
That's right.
Apparently, he's going to write down just in case we get to it today.
I had burn-ins twice in 2 days a week or two ago. It was
nothing wrong with that.
It was great. I've never felt better. It was incredible. I felt like I had ascended to a higher plane.
I've got a big one in my near future. That would be the Minskys and the Joes. Beards was so disappointed. Beards was just like, Beards goes, I mean, and just reaches up to market. Like, I just.
I mean, I might as well.
I mean, I. Fine, whatever.
We got a few hours to turn that one around. Yeah. Looking forward to hearing that back later.
That's fine. 913-912-4810 is the text line. Chiefs and Bucks this weekend. Are you developing a feel for the game? I'm going through my process that I go through each and every week, and now I'm to the confident part of it. Now I'm to the okay, I feel good about the Chiefs and they're going to win this game and some of the things that are working in their favor, and they're going to respond with from that Colts game, and I believe they're the better team, and we'll see on Sunday. Now, Sunday morning, I might get right back into nerves and, oh my goodness, they might be 2-2 after this game. So we'll see. But right now, you know, as my feelings shift throughout the week, kind of like the betting line, I'm in more of a confident stage right now.
That is so funny to me. That's where I was 24 hours ago. I am no longer there.
Okay.
I went through, I checked it out, and then I decided to go ahead and drive back to the middle again. Let me tell you what happened yesterday that really shook me.
Okay.
Mecole Hardman, limited participant, heel. Marquez Valdez-Scantling did not practice abdomen. That was not expected based off the injury reports yesterday. He was limited, though, on Wednesday. Juju Smith-Schuster, full participant, on the injury report, still with his shoulder. That is scary to me.
Mm-hmm.
The offensive line and the Bucks' great pass rush and ability to get pressure without having to bring all of their guys, their excellent defense altogether, that all goes kind of without saying at this point. The new thing for me that has me just ever so slightly leaning in a more nervous direction is that I think Patrick Mahomes might have to win this game with Travis Kelce, Sky Moore, and Justin Watson. And Sky Moore hasn't gotten any meaningful work offensively yet. Justin Watson, I think, is a fine player, but their top three receivers are all on the injury report right now. And Hardman did not look right against the Colts. I don't know what happens with MVS or where this is coming from. That stuff is really making me nervous. I'm still very slightly leaning Chiefs, but I mean, it's 51-49.
But it's not a confidence into where like they're going to win by 15. Like when I say I'm feeling more confident of the way they can play, and a little bit is, you know, looking at some of the advanced analytics from that, and we'll hear from Lee Sterling on the other side of the break, in that if you go a little bit deeper in what the offenses look like and what they have looked like, explosive play rate without Tyreek Hill, the Chiefs are second in the NFL this year in explosive play rate. Tampa Bay's 28th. Early down success rate, Chiefs are third, Tampa Bay's 23rd. Yards per play, the Chiefs are 7th, the Bucs are 25th. Perfect pass block rate, the Chiefs are middle of the pack, because yes, they've struggled. The Bucs are 31st in the league. So those offensive line issues have been just that. They have been issues for this team. And so the fact that the Chiefs are second in the NFL in pressure rate, and the fact that the Bucs are 31st in the NFL in perfect pass block rates through the first 3 weeks, those are certainly advantages in their favor.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the lack of explosive plays for the Bucs certainly account for the fact that Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Julio Jones were all missing. The pass rush or the perfect pass block struggles are injuries, yes, but Donovan Smith still is not, you know, he may play this week, and he's not a full participant. He's limited, and we'll see if he was limited last week. He practiced last week. He didn't play. So practicing this week limited doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be out there and playing. So there are some things, certainly advantages in the Chiefs' favor from how they've played through the first 3 weeks. And what a note, and then we'll take a timeout, and that is the Bucs defense, while it has thrived, the offenses they've gone up against have ranked 14th, 25th, and 31st. In expected points added per play. So,
I like where you're at. It looks nice over there.
It looks nice.
I was there a second ago and I haven't gotten back yet.
I was also there last week.
I might get. Yeah. Oh, I was in a nice place last week.
I was on a beach last week.
That's right. I was already looking ahead to the Bucks last week. So were the Chiefs. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We're here from Lee Sterling next.
Who's going to win and by how much? You're about to find out from National Sports Handicapping Champion Lee Sterling on The Zone. Log on to ParamountSports.com or call toll-free 800-400-9741 to get started.
It is a Red Friday on The Zone. Time to talk to our good friend Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports. And it's been good for you so far this year, Lee. And people love it because it's legal to bet in Kansas. Locktober is right on our doorstep, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, we've had some good runs here. This is one of the best runs ever. We have not only won 6 out of 7 weeks since the start of the preseason. We won big 9-2 last week, including a perfect 5-0 on Sunday and Monday, 8-3 the week before that, 6-3 the week before that. So no one's complaining. That's a 23-8 run. So anyone wants to get involved, we don't call it October. We call it Locktober. And how about this? You know, I said I want to get people involved. I know if people come aboard and they sign up with me, they're going to be happy and they're going to, you know, want to continue. So how about this special? Normally it's $497 for October for 5 weeks, and that goes through October 31st. I'm going to give you not a $100 discount, $397. If you use coupon code SAVE50, that's SAVE and the number 50, lower casing, SAVE, no space between the word and the number, SAVE50, just $347, 5 weeks of my phone service. That's 10 to 14 games a week. And I'm going to throw in baseball. We've had 50 more wins and losses in baseball this year. We average playing a plus 111 underdog. There's guys out there tell you, oh, I won 100 more games than I've lost. Yeah, well, you're playing minus 200, minus 300 favorites. We average playing a plus 111 underdog. You can get all of baseball through the World Series for free, and I'll throw in my UFC card on Saturday night for free. Everything, just $347, ParamountSports.com. When you get to the website, on the homepage, it says Purchase Picks on the top. Just click on there, first purchase option.
All right, Lee, let's run through some games that we've assigned to you that are of local interest here. Baylor and Oklahoma State, this game is in Waco. They got a big win on the road last week in Ames. Oklahoma State was off. They played twice last year. Baylor got the one that counted for the championship. What do you think here?
I like the fact that Baylor was aggressive last week. They even threw in a few trick plays there in that game. They played to win, which they did not against BYU. OSU, 23rd in yards per play offense. Baylor's defense, number 18 in yards per play allowed, I think is going to negate that offense. Sanders tossed 7 interceptions in the 2 games versus Baylor last year. He's got to play clean for them when I don't think he's anything special here. And I don't think he has a great supporting cast either here. Baylor at home, they get the job done 27-20.
Yeah, it's all going to lay on Spencer Sanders if he can get it done. Yep. All right, K-State had a huge win on the road last week at Oklahoma. Texas Tech had a huge win at home against Texas. So they're both coming off emotional highs. Mm-hmm. Kansas State's a touchdown favorite at home here, an 11 a.m. start.
The big question here is, will Kansas State have a letdown? And I don't think that they will. I think the team that's going to have a letdown is Texas Tech. This is like their season. You know, I think we know our teams pretty well. Texas Tech, if they beat Texas, I swear, I have some friends that go to Tech, they'll be like, yeah, we were 5-7, but we beat Texas. So it's crazy the way they think. It's been routine for them. They've won now 3 of the last 4 years. Tech win over Texas. They were not the better team in that game. It was the turnovers and the play in the red zone. Donovan Smith is just hot and cold, especially on the road. Little pocket awareness, poor reading coverages here. And Tech has lost the last 2 in Manhattan by double digits here. Special teams and home field, I think, are the difference here. I like Kansas State here, 34-20.
Well, if Adrian Martinez plays like he did in Norman, they're going to win a lot of games this year.
Yep.
All right, so Kansas answered the question at home last week. They got a big win in front of a sellout crowd. Now they've got Iowa State coming there, and they're getting points at home. Why is Iowa State favored in this game? Because I'm not sure how strong they are this year.
I agree with you. And they scored 2 late touchdowns, garbage touchdowns, and that loss to Baylor, or else it wasn't even close. I mean, some people who didn't see the game looked at the score like, oh, okay, well, Kansas, they're playing a team that's still really good. I don't think so here. They don't do any one thing well on offense or defense, which in the past, you know, they had like Breece Hall, they had great tight ends. I don't see guys that scare you anymore. In Kansas, number 8 running attack, number 7 passing attack, and Iowa State not real good on the road, 1-4 against the spread road play here. This amazing Kansas run will end, but it's not going to be this weekend here. The feature, they are in the feature spot here in the NFL. I like Kansas here, 35-30.
All right, let's move on to the National Football League. The Broncos are a mess. They won last week. They're 2-1. They're tied with the Chiefs, but they can't feel like they've played very well. And the Raiders haven't won a game yet. The Raiders are favorites at home.
Okay, the Raiders, we know, are the only team without a win or a tie. There's some teams with ties out there. But they have outplayed each one of their 3 opponents for a half. They blew that 16-point fourth-quarter lead to the Cardinals. They had some elite guys. I mean, Devontae Adams and Darren Waller are almost unguardable. The offensive line, which has 3 new starters, I was watching them, and they're starting to come together. And Max Crosby, I think he's going to do a number here on Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson is not identifying coverages. He does not look comfortable at all in this offense. And I don't think it's something that's all of a sudden going to shake out and all of a sudden they're going to start just scoring points and driving up and down the field. They have more 3 and outs than any team in the NFL. They had 8 against San Francisco last week here. Nathaniel Hackett looks overmatched here. And the Raiders have owned the Broncos, winning 6 of the last 7. Make it 7 out of 8 here. Russell Wilson, he looks cooked here. Vegas big, 34-13.
All right, how about the Chiefs in Tampa? Tampa's offense looks atrocious. The Chiefs just couldn't do anything right and couldn't get out of their own way last week. Can they bounce back this week?
You know, I think that this Tampa Bay team is similar to Indianapolis. So what you have here is you have a team that, you know, looking to bounce back from last week, both of them. But I just see that this Tampa Bay team here is their defense. If you look at all the units that are on the field here, they might be the strongest. And then you got a team here that is just like Indy, physical running attack, strong run defense here. And now they're going to get back Mike Evans and also Julio Jones. They will both play in this game here. That was the problem. I mean, he had no one to throw to. So just if he had any type of weapons, they win that game, I thought, easily. So, you know, Kansas City's going to be up against it. This is a really tough matchup for him. And I think it's going to be low scoring again. I like Tampa Bay, 2017.
You were right last week. I don't know if you're not making Chiefs fans happy, but it's money is what,
sorry,
is what
does
it. Just
got a call like a – hey, trust me, not a Tom Brady fan, but it was not his fault. Hey, we faced him, and he's beaten us when he was New England for almost 20 years. So I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. I like the low-scoring game probably even more than the game.
All right, Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports, yep, is our guest. Locktober is underway, and you've got a game of the week for us as well.
Yeah, game of the week this week is going to be Oklahoma and TCU. And Oklahoma looking to come back off that loss last week. TCU, maybe the surprise of the conference here in the Big 12. So you want to get this game, just call 800-400-9741. And like I said, it's not October, it's Locktober. We've never been hotter. If you have not been with me before, if you've never tried gambling on sports, this is the time you want to get involved. 5 weeks, not $397, just $347. Use coupon code SAVE50. You're going to get 5 weeks to October 31st, and that's 10 to 14 games a week. We're also going to throw in baseball through the World Series and also the UFC card this weekend, ParamountSports.com.
All right, Lee, good luck this week. More Zone coming up next on a Red Friday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.